Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my he did as good as I did Friday night, but still had a great time, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a great time at the pre-release.
Yes, you did. It was a good night. We had a good old time here, and in fact, we might as well get right into All right, we're going to do our untap phase. So the first thing we always want to remind you guys is that this show, like our other shows, is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill and the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place to go for gaming. Don't forget, all of you, that you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers. And we also want to remind you guys now, as a secondary sponsor, we're our own sponsors. We want to remind you about our Patreon as well. We just started it. So the Patreon can be reached at patreon.com/PlainsTalkers, and it will support the show. We are going to actually talk about that a little bit too right now. We're looking at doing some giveaways for First Strike patrons, which we're going to call it. So the first couple, like I'm going to say the first three patrons are going to be getting some sort of extra bonus from us, whether it be arena packs or we're trying to figure it all out. But for right now, we want to encourage you for that. But let's go ahead and get right into the untap, upkeep, and draw. And as always, I'm untapping my Sam Adams cold snap again because I bought a 12-pack. So it'll take me a while to drink it. So yummy, yummy, yummy. I got beer in my tummy. So Hermes, how you been?
Good. I've been doing good. You know, we had the pre-release on Friday night. I went back on Saturday morning, did another pre-release.
I think Nicholas Duclos, but that's okay. Go on.
Yeah, I had a good time at both of those tournaments. There was a bit of a snowstorm on Saturday, so I don't know if they canceled the 5 o'clock flight at Kerwin's, but I know they had, I think on Sunday they went back and did another regular one. But
well, let's bring him in here. He's in the waiting room right now. We're going to bring in a guest here, folks. We've got my son, Nicholas. He's at his dad's tonight, so he may have some issues with internet because, you know, he just doesn't value internet the way we do. So can you hear us?
Hello, Walt.
Oh, what do you think? Oh, he's showing his land. So, so the three of us went to Friday night and we had a great time. We did what? We both, you and I went 3-1.
Or yes.
We went 3-1. And Nicholas was on a rampage the first two games. And then he got put against people that were really had pretty ball broken decks and he went 2-2. But Nicholas, what do you think of your first pre-release?
It was pretty radical. I gotta say it, man.
Yeah.
Like, everyone there was really friendly. Like for like first experience, I felt fairly welcome and I'm excited to do it again.
So you felt fairly welcome at Kerwin's Game Store in Catskill in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Look at that. Shameless.
Going for that shameless plug, man. Hashtag sponsored. That's what you get for sponsoring, man. No. Yeah. You know, we all got our boxes this week. We each got a box. We opened it up. Nicholas got his first box that he got himself. It was kind of cool because we did two pre-release events, but because of the snowstorm, what we did was because Matthew and Wendy, my wife, well, Matthew's my, you know, other son, but Wendy's my wife. And we decided that we were driving home and I was talking to Nick. I'm like, you know what we could do? I'm like, tomorrow during the snowstorm, we could just, if you don't want to open your packs tonight, save your box. And we'll open your box tomorrow. You just give your mom 6 packs, Matthew 6 packs, me 6 packs, and you 6 packs. And, you know, you keep the cards, but we'll have them do a sealed event. So that's what we did with them. So we did a secondary sealed event, just a family sealed event here at the house around the four of us. I won it. Wendy came in actually second. She came up with a pretty good deck. And Nicholas, I think, beat Matthew for third, right?
Yeah. Like Matthew was running like a Rakdos and it wasn't really working for him.
Well, that's just it. It was what, you know what? And that happened a few times. I mean, let's talk about that during the pre-release. I ended up playing a guy who built a Rakdos deck and then he switched it out into some sort of like Sultai Flyer weird thing deck. I forget what it was. Because he said, he was like, you know, it looked on paper like my red-black was going to be really good. He's like, but it just couldn't hang.
Well, that was a problem you ran into as well, because you had...
I had a Selesnya deck.
You had a decent amount of stuff in Selesnya. You had Kalix, and you had some support for it. But you also had a pretty decent Dimir deck going on.
I had a better Dimir deck. Yeah. Dimir deck won me, got me to game three. It did. It really did. I never even played Selesnya after game two.
And it's funny how you, like, for me, it's a little harder for me to build multiple decks out of a sealed pool, but you seem to be able to do that on a regular basis, which I think is pretty cool.
Well, what happens with me is this. I mean, I think what it is luck of the draw with you. You end up getting a deck that builds itself. This happened to me on Saturday. I ended up building a green-red Gruul deck that was, and the decks were full of Satyrs or Satyrs or whatever the hell you, however the hell you pronounce it. But it literally, even Nicholas is looking at it going, oh my God, your deck just, and I'm like, it just built itself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, I had the green red one there that says, Satyrs come in with +1/+1. And a bunch of other things that came in. And then I got two of the Ashok or whatever he is there, the god that makes a Satyr if anything dies.
Oh, the demigod Anax.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was like, I mean, I'm like, I guess I'm playing this. Like, It just seemed to me like you end up with those type of decks all the time. I always end up at real pre-release. I end up with like two medium run-of-the-mill decks. And you said it best. You're like, so what you do is you start with one, and if you lose really bad, when you go to sideboard, just bring out the second, and it'll screw them all up. And It did. Like, one kid was like, wait. I was playing one of the younger guys, and he's like, weren't you green-yellow? Like, wait, what? I went backwards on that, but yeah.
It is a little bit it can throw your opponent off a little bit. I mean, there's not as many sideboarding options typically in sealed deck because you've only got, you know, whatever you open in your six packs. But still, if you're focused on what they're playing in the first game, you're like, all right, well, they're this strategy, they have these bombs, I know to save these cards for this. And then all of a sudden you're two completely different colors and a completely different strategy. They're like, well, wait a minute. Now it's like a brand new game here. What do I do?
Nicholas, what about you, buddy? What did you think like when you were playing and all that? Like, your deck kind of built itself too. I mean, Aramis helped you a lot, but
I got Planeswalker Asiok.
Yeah, that helped.
Yeah, that's a bomb.
I built that thing around it. And I think I went up Simic.
No, you were three color, if I remember correctly. Didn't you splash Golgari or splash black?
It was almost Esper initially.
Oh yeah, that's what. No, it was Esper. It was green, white. It was right, red,
blue, black, red, white. Yeah,
it was blue, black, white. So, yeah, you were playing a good Esper deck. You had a lot of really good interaction, so that I could see. What was it like winning your first two games like that?
I don't know. I felt like at some point, I remember I had to mulligan at least three times in a row. that was something I've never had to do before.
Yeah. If you mulligan down to four, it's tough to come back. Did you win the game?
Yeah, I won that one.
So that's a heck of a roll to four.
Dude. You know what? Here's the thing. I am sure that your opponent must have been a little bit salty. If he's like, you mulled to four and I lost.
Well, he's giving me hits and tips about like that first round. And by the time the second round, he went completely quiet.
Like, never mind. This kid knows what he's doing.
I went, my last opponent, the guy who switched his deck, he actually in game two had to mull to four. I beat him pretty handily. Again, that black blue deck, I mean, with the counter spells. I built it with like five counter spells. So I'm like, counter, bring this in, remove that, put that back in your hand. Okay. And now here I'm swinging in for 12. So it was a fun night. And I mean, you know, my box, I got some pretty decent stuff. I mean, nothing major. I got two out of the three Planeswalkers. I got Ashiok and two of the green white guy.
Kalix.
And that Kalix was why I mean, I got him in my pre-release pack. That's why I was going green and white, because I opened what the hell's the name of that god there? I opened the green god.
Oh, Nylia.
Yeah, I opened Nylia, and then I opened Kalix. I'm like, all right, green and white it is, I guess. And again, it just wasn't enough around it to justify. It's what we talked about before. It looked like it, but it was really deceptive. And well, the problem was speed. I was slow. That deck was very slow to get going, and too many parts that needed to get out to make it, you know, really bad.
I mean, to be fair, the format from people that I've talked to, they were kind of hard to place. Like, it's definitely not a slow format. It's not fast either. It's sort of not literally mid range, but it's sort of middle of the road speed. You have time to cast your spells. You have time to build up to get to your bombs. The bombs are kind of crazy. I mean,
yeah, the bombs are ridiculous.
You know, I opened in my Friday night pre-release, I opened Paolo Kronos Unchained, and that thing is just absolutely absurd. I was able to get Hydra's Growth on it once.
I did actually open that Saturday too. So I did sprinkle green. I splashed green or black. I scratched black, I should say. Cause I'm like, no, I'm going to play this.
Yeah. It's an absolutely absurd card. And then on Saturday, I opened Kiora Best the Sea God, which is really the name of the card is Kiora Wins the Game, because unless you're so far behind, this card literally will win you the game.
And Nick, you have that, didn't you? You opened one of those in one of your packs. It's the enchantment that makes the 8/8.
I didn't open it. I was playing a few rounds on Arena with it. Okay. And yeah, as soon as you pull it out, you either get a quit or they just keep on trying to truck through it. It's
yeah, it's nearly unbeatable unless you're, like I said, unless you're so far behind on board. It's the first time I cast it, the guy looks at the card, he says, "Let me just see this." He sees the first ability, says, "Yeah, I'm just gonna concede."
Actually, somebody got it out on me today in Arena. And I don't think they realized about the Azorius Flyer deck, because I'm like, yeah, okay, good. So I let him get it out, and he gets his 8/8 out. Okay, fine. You know, and I've got like seven creatures on the board, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this. So I swing in with all seven, and I get him down to like four, and I'm like, okay, no problem. Pass turn, go ahead, make my stuff tap. So he makes everything tap. Rally of Wings.
Well, I mean, I don't know how good it's going to be in Constructed, but in Limited, it's absolutely like a 10 out of 10 unbeatable card.
Yeah, especially in Limited Theros. I mean, unless you're playing somebody, I miss block Limited. Like, people, you used to be able to do a block Limited. Like, you know, I remember going and doing a Kaladesh Aether Revolt Limited, like draft, like 3/3, because they did support each other. But you really can't do that now. It's kind of like
everything kind of stands alone.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got rid of the blocks, which kind of sucks, but I can sort of see why they're doing it this way. One thing I was able to do with Kiora Best the Sea God, it was round two or three. I was playing against Hannah, and I played Kiora Best the Sea God. And she's like, "What does this card do?" And I read it off. She was like, "Oh my God." So I get the 8/8 creature. And she's like, "Well, I can't attack into that," because she was playing Rakdos, so she didn't have any flyers. So I was like, "All right, next turn, tap your team, swing for 8. She's like, "Gotta take it." I'm like, "All right." So third turn comes around, the trigger goes on the stack to steal her one of her permanents. And I say, "Well, in response to the trigger, I'm gonna cast I forget what it's called, it's like a Void Fate or something. It's the one where it exiles a creature enchantment you control and then returns it to the battlefield." So I blinked Kiora Best the Sea God, getting another 8/8 crack, and she goes, "Yep, that's it. That's game. Goodbye."
And she's sitting there probably like, "Dick."
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a flex, but I wanted to do it. Because you look at the card, you're like, "Holy crap. How do I not win with this?"
Yeah, it's a great card in Limited. So, you know, I mean, we did. I think this weekend, we all had pretty great pre-release events.
This is a good set.
This was a good set. This is a good release set. I'm looking forward to Friday night to see what we do constructed. I still don't know what I'm going to play. So you're rubbing your hands. Am I coming home and picking you up and taking you to Friday again? Because that's going to be a little tougher. If you want to drive your car, man, I'll be at Kerwin's. We'll talk offline. But yeah, I mean, I mean, what are you thinking about playing this week then, Aramis? I mean, we've got a constructed event. We will be there Friday night.
What I'm probably going to do is I don't have enough copies of certain cards yet, but I might insert certain cards that I have into my Esper Hero deck. because there's some stuff that slots into it pretty well.
If there are any children watching the feed, don't look. Okay, I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, Ashak already goes in there. Dreamcrawler goes in there. I think,
Are you going to put the Sea God just for kicks?
You know, it doesn't really trigger much.
It doesn't.
Not in that deck. It's people are really talking about it, but not in that particular build.
Did you get a Euro? Or you also opened a Euro, right?
Yeah, the Simic Titan.
I didn't open one of him. That's the one that made me upset. I really wanted to open one of him.
Yeah, he's going to be a very interesting card to see what happens with him because he's pretty nuts.
Yeah, and I mean, you know me, I like to play Simic Flash. So
yeah, Risen Reef got swole.
I'm thinking seriously about playing. I think I'm going to play probably my sacrifice. Grab anything out of the box, anything out of my box that helps. I don't know what else I'm going to play. Otherwise, I'm going to just play mono red and just, which, you know, given everybody's testing this week, I might be able to squeak a few wins.
Did you get any Heliods?
Yeah, I think I got two.
There's a mono white deck floating around with Heliod that I think is pretty good too.
Let me check here. I just so happen to have my binder sitting right here with me. So go to my white section.
If you have like two, I think I have one that I can let you borrow.
Yeah, I got one. So, yeah, but I got the one with like the nice art. Yeah, remember that was the one I opened with like the special art on it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, and that's so. Maybe I could do that. I want to play something that's a little bit more. I mean, I could bring my flyers in again, I guess, because you know, tweak it a little bit. I don't know. We'll figure out what I'm going to do this week. I know that tomorrow at work for the club, I'm going to take my box and open it and basically separate it. Six by six, or for six players, and do a sealed event with five of the guys. So
that's really that's like the best way to open a box is to play it. I mean, if you're just cracking packs, that's cool too. But like, if I had the option to do something like that, I would totally do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think that's going to be what I'm going to do with it for this week. And then you know, I told the guys, I'm like, listen, you're not keeping the card. It's a Phantom. It's a Phantom sealed event. Mm-hmm. I keep the cards. But you know, this way it'll be played. You guys get some experience doing that. Nicholas, was that worthwhile to you when we did that over the weekend?
Oh yeah, that was probably like if you have a box to spare, or like you get a box and you don't feel like unpacking everything immediately, I would say it's worthwhile.
Which is tough. You kind of do. You know, that would be. It's tough for me even today because I was home alone. I was home from work today. So I kind of looked at the box like it's just kind of sitting there sealed. And I'm like, really want to open that box.
You know, any one of those beautiful mythics could be in here. They could be foil. They could be alternate art.
I'm like, open. I really want to open that box, but I'm not going to open that box. So what I did was I took my cards that I got over the weekend and I built my binder. I was like, okay, this is enough.
You hear like Palpatine in the background going like, do it, do it.
That's Nicholas's favorite word. Well, you know, we're gonna go in and pivot, I think, off of this. I mean, Nicholas, what's your favorite card? Like, what's the best card you open? What are you most looking forward to putting in your deck? I know you're a big fan of the blue mill.
Mill did get some toys to play with over here. I honestly, out of all the cards I got, I didn't really switch much out. Like, some things I'm running mono blue instead of like the blue black, so I'm sort of restricted by that regard, but I definitely knock out.
Well, you could splash black for your Ashiok and then get some of those other cards. You don't have to go big black.
I mean, Ashiok's nickname is Splashiok.
Yeah. I'm looking for Underworld Dreams. I see this card. It's something about it I like. It's not the most powerful, but
let me take a look here. Let's see if I can pull it up.
Triple black enchantment. Whenever an opponent draws a card, it deals one damage to them.
Oh, that's the one we talked about last week. Yeah, that card's kind of, it's not broken out loud, and it's old school. Like that used to be on the old brown,
originally printed in Legends.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that card too. I'm a big fan. I mean, anything triple black, it automatically. And I know Nicholas that you weren't around for this. Your dad might. I mean, if you talk to your dad about it, he might be like, "Oh yeah, I know Underworld Dreams," but yeah, Underworld Dreams was one of those cards that was around for a long time. And any of those three black, like Aramis said last week, any of those three black cards were like just brokenly stupid.
But, yeah, so there's always something with them. You're like, okay, let's what kind of crazy shenanigans are we getting into? I mean, Necropotence was the big one, but
yeah, So I mean, you put some stuff into your Pioneer deck too, right? You threw some stuff in your.
I think I've just gone through old cards. There's nothing from this set, I believe.
Okay.
Hold on, I got it here.
Well, we're doing a show. What, did he leave?
He walked away. He's fine.
He walked away. We're doing a show.
There he is.
My audience loves me.
Oh, jeepers.
As long as you're wearing pants, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is not the best angle. The next time we do this, like, we'll schedule it. I'll, like, get you a webcam of some sort.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. Like, I
guess it's perfect. Don't worry about it. I'm just being a jerk. Oh, I love it. I can make him just be like, just a, he will question everything about his existence. I'm the evil stepfather. That's what I do. All right. Well, let's pivot. We're going to pivot off this. So, Nicholas, we'll let you get back to whatever you're doing. You should be writing essays for your scholarships, I imagine, right? I could tell your mom that's what you're doing.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say to our people before we let you go, buddy? I mean, he goes back to college on Sunday. I'm going to miss him like crazy.
I don't know.
You are a broadcasting renaissance man, son. You're amazing. Anything you want to say? Oh.
No.
All right. Well, that's my boy Nicholas Boltash there. He's went with us Friday, and maybe he'll come with us next week. We'll see. But Nick, thanks for dropping in, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime, bro. Take care. Bye-bye. So that was kind of cool. I brought him to pre-release, and then I brought him to the show. This is like, you know, hey, I'm proud bonus dad moment here.
You know, pusher.
I splashed Nicholas for our account. We splashed Nicholas for the podcast. We went three color tonight. Wait, that sounds bad.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, nobody should touch that one ever. So, I mean, anything else you could think of about with the pre-release though, or anything like that? Theros overall.
I mean, Theros overall, it's a very solid set. Like I said, there's a lot of people already talking about a handful of cards that they think are going to be fairly big and standard. So, you know, we just have to wait and see what archetypes come out, what decks get the updates that they needed. I mean, like I said, Esper got some toys, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I might play Flyers. I think that's my most complete deck right now. I don't know. I could try mono. Like I said, this might be the mono red weekend, just because everybody's going to be playing with stuff, and mono red's just reliable. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple of things too. I mean, like that one set here. What was it called? The Careless Celebrant. That might be good.
Oh, that is good.
That might be good for mono red. Because it's sort of like a Viashino Pyromancer.
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, I'm looking at this, and again, I'm going to open, you know, another box tomorrow, so that helps. So, like, Anax is just ridiculously good if you're building a Saturn deck. And I think, given that we're going to a place where they're, you know, it's about behemoths and giants and stuff, I could see Satyrs being something there as kind of like giants versus the smaller people. And I kind of like looking at this, and they threw a few Satyrs, I think, in 20. So, I mean, I have a feeling Wizards is going to build a Satyr tribal again, maybe actually make it good for once, because usually Satyr tribal is just got hot dumpster fire garbage.
I wasn't around for the last iteration of that. So
it was.
I can't speak to that.
Let's never speak of that again. So, well, we should pivot. Let's go ahead. And we got some combat to talk about Arena tonight, because we're going to move away a bit from the pre-release. I mean, we don't want to beat that dead horse of, you know, the pre-release event. But, you know, and we're not talking about but we want to kind of talk a little bit about Arena, and definitely with Theros on that. So let's go ahead and get into combat. All right, welcome to combat phase. So tonight, listen, I mean, we're going to talk about it in main two, but just as kind of a preview. A lot of people realized, I don't know if you tried to play Arena this weekend, but the Theros code, whether it's the code or just how they were doing things, or maybe they weren't expecting the reaction they got, but arena's a hot mess right now. I mean, just disconnects happening at all times, lockups, people paying for events and then, you know, getting kicked out of the events so that they get three losses back to back. And so it begs the question to me, and this is why I wanted to bring it up for combat tonight. Okay, we've been kind of saying that arena's the future of online Magic, but with all these issues, is that the case? Because the one thing you could say about MTGO is the damn thing is stable. You start a game, 9 times out of 10, you can finish it. You know? So, and you get to kind of, you feel like you have a little bit more ownership of your cards, and it has trading, and it has, you know, it's a little bit more of a Magic experience than Arena. So my question is that, you know, do we feel Arena's the future of online Magic? And Aramis, what's your thought?
Yes. Short answer. Short answer is yes. Having been someone who was around since the launch of MTGO.
Oh, I do remember that.
If you recall, they did a big system update on that like a year or so after it was launched, and it was an absolute disaster.
Right.
To the point where they actually had to, like, redo the entire game.
Right.
So, you know, Wizards has shown in the past that when it comes to online platforms, they're not the most adept at getting things out smoothly. That being said, I'm still surprised that in now 2020, you're still running into issues like this with something that's supposed to be your A-list release for what's supposedly, like you said, is going to be the future of digital Magic. I do still believe that's going to be the case. I do still think that it's going to be where the game heads as far as online presence is concerned. MTGO's days are probably numbered at some point. Not immediately, you know, maybe not in the next 5 years or so, but shortly thereafter, I think MTGO is going to go away. But it boggles my mind that for something that was supposedly coded in a program that's, you know, easy to port, easy to code, easy to implement, that they can't figure this out.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I'm not so sure this is the future anymore. Not just because I feel like in combat that we should be at diametric opposition. I work in IT. A lot of people know that. I work in the computer industry. And, okay, I understand development life cycle and testing and all of that and coding and how hard it can be. And I get what they're doing in Arena and what they're reaching for and what they're striving for. But I also understand some things about, like, the idea that execution counts. You know, especially if you're going to charge real-world money for basically in-game currency, stock, whatever. There's a certain trust that comes with that. There's a certain level of, I have to believe that the money I'm spending now, and you know, you can't think about it as you're throwing money at, you know, for assets. Okay, you gotta not think about that. I used to always say when I had my poker league every, you know, back when I was back in Rochester, I would, you know, somebody would ask me and be like, isn't it gambling for you? I mean, you're going and you're trying to put money down that you may not have and da, da, da. I'm like, no, what I sit down to a poker table, whether I'm playing in a tournament, whether I'm doing this, is I'm paying for the experience of sitting around a table with 9 other guys, having a good time, telling jokes, playing cards, and maybe I'll win some money. You know, I'm paying that money. That's how I would say to myself, I'm paying for the experience. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to kind of consider when you're spending money in an electronic format. You have to realize that eventually this game is going to get shut off. Whether you're for whatever reason, whether they make a new one, like with MTGO, you know, people in MTGO are like, I've got hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars invested in this game, and there's going to come a day you're going to turn it off. Yes. There's going to come a day that's going to happen.
Yep.
And you have to, in this day and age, and it's something that may not have been spoken of to anyone, but that's what happens. I was a big fan of Star Wars Galaxies. I invested some money in that. I would buy credits occasionally, even though you weren't supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. I put real world money into it. And then, you know, they were like, well, we don't have enough people to support it, so we're going to shut the servers off. Well, guess what? All that money was gone. So, and I was not upset because, again, I was paying for the experience and not the what I was receiving. So, with that being said, Okay, that's how I can justify occasionally throwing some gems in Arena. Okay, I'm not paying for the cards I'm going to get. I'm paying for the, you know, the feeling I get or the escape I get for playing this game, playing it well, you know, having a good time. But for that, I expect that if I'm putting any real-world money into this, then you need to honor that money. In other words, if I pay for a sealed event, which required only, as far as I know, it was only gems, right, for the first weekend?
Well, it was gems and or, I believe,
I don't think it's coins. I think draft is coins.
It was two. Well, it was sealed. It was 2,000 gems.
Yeah.
2,000 gems, or if you were lucky, if you bought the mastery pass and such, I believe you got a couple of free entries into sealed.
Did I? Because I have the mastery pass. If you bought that special, they were selling. Okay, yeah, before the pre-buy. Yeah, I didn't buy that. Okay. With that being said, okay, if I had spent money, and I did a sealed event. I spent the two, you know, I had some gems in there. I had to get like another 100 more or something.
Yeah.
So I threw some money at it. Here's the deal. Like, game two out of the three games I played, I ended up, like, getting kicked out. Now I was able to get right back in and catch up. But I missed a turn or two, so things didn't happen. Yeah, it sucks. Like, how dare you? Like, I put my... And I was doing it to test my sealed and to get to see the cards, which is what a lot of people are doing. That's why they open it on Tuesday, is because they're hoping people that are going to a pre-release event are going to sign up to do a pre-release on Arena to maybe practice what you might get in your set. Mm-hmm. That being said, there is an expectation from my part that is going to be a reliable way to do it. And frankly, that didn't happen. So I was kind of annoyed. I wasn't pissed. Again, I keep it in perspective. Right. But there are some people out there, if you go on the Redditor community, they're incensed. They're like, I put money, I lost three games because I got kicked out and I couldn't get back in.
Yeah, and I can completely
understand. I can see their point.
I can understand their anger, and I think it's justified, because here's the thing.
I do too.
If this game was still in beta, it would make a whole lot of sense. We're not in beta. They said they launched this game. This game is supposedly full release, ready to go. Now, will hiccups happen at updates? Sure. Yes. That's you know, it's going to happen, because there's going to be a bug that you didn't expect. There's always going to be an interaction you didn't expect. Fine. This has happened every set.
Right.
And
this was the worst by far.
This was the worst. And I understand the time crunch that they're probably under, because a set gets released every 3 months, and they only have
they had 5 months on this, for 4 months.
No,
Eldraine came out. They didn't do anything in December.
But they're still coding for Theros.
Right. Eldraine was released. Still coding for Theros.
Eldraine was released in September.
Right. So they had a good You always, after the fall release, you have a little extra time.
Yeah, a couple extra weeks. But it was towards the end of September that Eldraine was released. So you had all of October, all of November, all of December, and most of January. But, you know, I can understand being pressured, because it's, you know, 250 some odd new cards, a whole bunch of new interactions, animations, which I would rather have a smooth release and then patch in the animations later.
Yeah, those should be patched in.
And then they were also working on other aspects of the game, I guess, ? Friends list, whatever.
Well, they're also doing things like, you know, they're trying to code in anticipation for some sort of historic event next month, and
yeah, they're getting stuff ready for new events coming up. They're probably trying to backcode old sets for Pioneer when that eventually comes out. They're probably doing a million different things,
and I understand that too.
Their plate is probably more than full. I get it, and we both understand. I think we agree on the same point that this shouldn't be happening. We disagree on whether or not this is the way the game should be going moving forward. I think that's where we basically stand.
Right, and I do believe that, unfortunately, from where I sit, you know, at the end of the day, you need to, if this is going to be the future of your game, if this is going to be the future of Magic, you absolutely 100% need to stick the landings 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And you are not sticking the landings 20% of the time.
Yeah, like, if this happened once every couple of years, okay, Sure. Yeah. Like, you know, having a couple of hiccups, maybe needing an emergency downtime every release. Okay, you know, hey, we identified this problem. Some of you might be experiencing this. We're going to do a hot fix, restart your client in an hour, and it'll be fine. Sure. But this has been, like, crippling for, like, half the people who are playing.
Right. And this is why I believe that this cannot be the future of online Magic.
Not if they keep doing it like this.
That's just it. Because at this point, okay, you're this close to losing your base. All right? You can't play Pioneer in Arena. People want to play Pioneer. They don't own the cards. They own them. They own them in MTGO.
People you want to can't play trade
in Arena. You can in MTGO. Like, you're gonna, if you're not careful, you're going to find that you are competing with yourself.
Especially if they have the audacity to continue to have certain formats behind a paywall.
Yes, like Brawl.
Like Brawl.
Which and that was going to be my thing, too. So yeah. and that adds this in, okay? And they are consistently and constantly making horrible decisions, like putting Brawl behind a paywall. You know, slow to... Again, you have... We at least know, you and I mean, that Shadows over Innistrad, or is it Eldritch Moon? Eldritch Moon, forward. Eldritch Moon, Kaladesh, Aether Revolt,
Amonkhet
Block, Powers of Devastation, yeah. Ixalan Rivals, Dominaria,
well, those are fine.
Core
those
19.
Are yeah.
They're coded. They are in the game. They were there once. You should be opening that up now.
So
you need to do something.
And here's the thing that they're going to do, which is, again, it seems so silly to me, but I can understand certain aspects of it. It's hard. When they do Amonkhet for Arena, they're not just going to be unlocking Amonkhet. They're going to be doing, like, the Tempest Remastered. Do you remember that? They're going to be taking... What they did, I think, in MTGO, they re-released Tempest, Stronghold, and Exodus as a set called Tempest Remastered. They basically took all the best cards from those three sets and put them all together. So it was like a, you know, 400 card set or whatever. But like the really bad, janky draft commons, the really bad cards weren't included. So they're apparently going to do the same thing. Yeah, they're going to do the same thing with Amonkhet Block. They're going to re-release most of it.
And probably with HOD.
Yeah, same with HOD.
Which I can get behind. I mean, Gate to the Afterlife and, or what was it, God Pharaoh's Citadel and God Pharaoh's Gift, you needed, like, in Amonkhet, you had a card that referred to God Pharaoh's Gift.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't see them not doing something like that. But there are going to be cards that are not going to be included that were actually in the original set. Right. But it's weird for them to do that because those sets are already there.
Yeah.
If they did it with like Shadows over Innistrad and back, okay, they could do Kaladesh and Aether Revolt full. They could do Shadows over Innistrad and or Eldritch Moon at least probably 75%. They could maybe do a remaster set of that.
Yeah, like, they need to do... This is what I mean. So, I don't mean to be a negative Nelly on Wizards. I'm not going to bash Wizards. But if this is... I don't believe that Arena is going to be the future of online Magic if we continue down the path we're continuing. I think they had built up a lot of goodwill during the really great Standard season with Ixalan Rivals, Dominaria. Mm-hmm. You know, during that really great seasons we were having there... And then, you know, with the Throne of Eldraine mess, with the Historic Misfire, with Brawl.
Oh, Historic's and a then... format? I'm sorry.
Let's not talk about Historic because we're going to get that email from that guy. No, but, I mean, with the Historic Misfires and what they were doing there with the, oh, we're going to charge you double the wild cards and blah, 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 blah. You are consistently making it harder for people to want to buy into this. And you need buy-in. You cannot just assume that your Magic Pro League and the fact that you're going to do arena events for Mythic Championships or whatever, the Players Championships, or Player Tour is what they're calling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't assume that because you're doing arena for that, that that's going to get sign-off from the field. Because here's what's going to happen. People are going to be like, I don't want to play Standard all day, every day. Some days I want to play Commander. Some days I want to play Brawl.
Yeah.
I want to play Historic. I want to go and play Pioneer. And until you get that set up, you're going to lose it. And then to add on to that, the system issues that you have had in regards to reliability, simple connectivity, okay, you here's the thing. You are a software developer right now. As a software developer, you have one job. Does your software run? And the answer right now is no. So how do you expect this to be the future of online magic?
And it's not like the people that are having these issues are running crappy systems. Some of these people have like custom built gaming computers that can run like, you know, Fortnite. At 60 FPS or greater with no lag, and they're like, I can't play Arena because I'm freaking crashing and lagging and freezing all the time.
And that's me. I have a monster rig, and I was going down. Mm-hmm. It was sitting on my laptop.
What they need to do, I want them to do all these things they say they're going to do. I want them to do all these formats. I want them to do all this awesome stuff. The bones of the game aren't secure.
No.
Make the game run smoothly 90% of the time. 9 out of 10 times, make it run without a hitch. Once that's fixed, then we can have the happy giant hand coming in when you cast, you know, the giant that kills everything. You can add all the bells and whistles after the fact. Make the game run smoothly first. It's already beautiful. It's already way better looking than MTGO ever was or ever could be. You don't have to worry about the visual aspect of it in that regard.
I think I just want combat.
Yeah.
I do. I you're not wrong.
The game, fact is this. And then add on to it.
Huh? Yeah.
Fix it, and then
that's how you have to do it. If you want this to be the future of online magic, okay, if you want this to be the stop, and I get it, okay, it does have a wide user base. It's not like right now it's bleeding users. I have, and they won't release the numbers if they are. But, I mean, with what I'm seeing on the online community, first of all, I have Reddit update me when people put posts into the Arena thing, like especially a lot of posts. Like then I get if the Reddit is active, I get a post. Haven't seen too many Arena posts show up in my feed in a while. No, they're there. It's just, you know, Reddit goes and says, how many people are posting in this? Let me, you know, this forum's really active. Here's this. So I have to take a look at this and think to myself, are we losing players? And it has to be. It has to be. You had the Throne of Eldraine misfire. And again, that's not an Arena. Okay, but the Oko misfires and the Once Upon a Times and Veil of Summer. I mean, those things were legitimate, not Arena's fault.
Well,
they impacted Arena.
There was a Throne of Eldraine thing that was Arena's fault. Remember, the draft bots were idiots for the longest time.
Yeah, you could draft your mill deck and just win.
It was crazy. It was basically that whole format. If you were drafting against the bots, it was you were playing mill. And the actual Throne of Eldraine draft format was one of the best draft formats ever made because it was so deep, but the bots were stupid as hell.
And that's why I think they're going to move to, you know, and that's the stuff they need to do. But you're right. I mean, I want to be able to draft against real players. I want Pioneer. I want, you know, all these old sets to be put in there. However, you're right about one thing. Maybe it's time to go simple and to, you know,
focus on stability.
Listen, if you break your leg, okay, you don't get to go play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if your leg doesn't work, you have to put a cast around it and wait till it is solid again before you can think of ever doing anything athletic.
Yeah, and that perfect analogy for that, stress test.
Well, this is what you do for a living. Why are you not stress testing this? Okay, Theros was a big deal. You're releasing it on a Tuesday. People are going to want to play it. Okay, assume that. Why weren't you stress testing? That's what they're going to say. They're going to come out this week with some sort of announcement, and they were like, this is how many millions of people were trying to access Arena at the time, and our servers got overwhelmed, and, blah, 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 we're sorry, here, have some gems. And that is the least you can do. To be quite honest, you should take those two. You should take anyone who did a sealed event, no matter what they did, here's your 2,000 gems back. You know, don't do the sealed event again. Shut the sealed event down until you can do it right. That to me would win people over. I mean, we had a problem this weekend with, you know, Pizza Hut, and they ended up double charging me. I shouldn't say that. I'll probably have to edit this out. But the pizza place that we went to this weekend, they double charged me. And I had to call them and be like, listen, if you had told me I was going to get charged twice, as opposed to just have you remove the delivery fee because I had to go pick it up, I'm like, I would have done that. I was like, but if you had told me I was going to get charged twice, I would have said cancel my order altogether because, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, like... And they're setting me up like, well, I'll have pizza this weekend. So, but I mean, they made it right finally. But that's just it. They made it right, even though, you know, and the charge came off my card and all that. But the second charge did come off. But they're going to make it right anyway, because I had to go through so many hoops. And then I also told them the story of what happened a month and a half ago. You know, it's like, that's what Arena has to do. If you want this to be the future of online Magic, you need to realize that we don't have to play your game. Mm-hmm. We can just play paper. And you can just play MTGO.
People have been saying, oh, you know what? I can't play Arena right now. Let me play some Hearthstone.
Yeah. Like, here's the deal. You want to win us back? Then you need to start doing things like that. You need to stop looking at this as a cash cow dollar sign. Yes, you should make money. Please be profitable. I'm a capitalist. Dear God, make money. Mm-hmm. But do not sit there and in your ivory towers and find new ways to squeeze every single cent out of us. Because here's the thing. I'm a father of three and a wife of one. And guess what? At the end of the day, this is my recreation. And if you try to squeeze me too tight, I'm going to say, screw this, and do something else with my money and my time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to do that as a good steward of my family. So yeah. You want Arena to be the future of online Magic? Because right now I don't think it is. I think in a year's time, if they're still pulling this stuff, people are out. They're out. Mm-hmm. It'll be Duels of the Planeswalkers all over again.
Giant asterisk to all of this, though, and I think I can safely say that you agree with me on this one. We love Arena.
Yes, I do.
Because
I wouldn't play it if I
didn't. It is an absolutely beautiful game. It is a great game. When it runs correctly, it's fantastic.
I do agree with
that. So, you know, we're not trying to be all doom and gloom about Wizards about this all the time. It's just that this stuff just keeps happening, and there's only so much that you can take before you're like, all right, I think I want to do something else.
Yeah, and that's just... And I think, and this is why we're combat, it's like... I don't believe right now, as things stand, Arena is the future of online Magic. I think Arena is the future of it's going to be something we talk about in a year or two if they don't, you know, fix it. We're just going to be like, we're going to talk about the way we did Duels of the Planeswalkers or whatever the hell the name of that game was.
Wizards, you know, fix your game.
Fix the game, Wizards. Otherwise, no, you're not going to have this. And you're going to see people run from this and go do something else. So with that, we should get into main two, and I finally can say without a doubt I want a combat. All right, let's get into this main phase.
Main phase.
All right, we're back to main phase. Okay, so it's kind of funny because main two, we really were going to talk about set launch problems with Theros. You know, and I do kind of want to get into that a little bit more. We'll talk about like the nuts and bolts of it. You know, so what basically happened this weekend was Thursday night. Did you sign up for anything, or
I played or this week? During the week, I did one sealed event during the week, and the first game, like I didn't run into too many connection issues myself. I did get kicked out once. I think I lagged a couple times, but I've noticed for me personally with Arena, the first time I log in, the first match is always really terrible with lag spikes, and then it gets better.
Okay.
Overall, I would say I did okay with connection, but I also hadn't had a chance to play on launch night, so I saw all the problems that were happening. So by the time I got in there, they'd already done a couple of quick fixes, so it was a little bit better. It still wasn't perfect. My initial sealed pool wasn't perfect either. I went 1-3. It was pretty bad. But it was still fun. It's still fun. It's just it's like we were saying in combat. It's frustrating that we have to go through this every set.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that was what was happening to me too. I did lose three games. You know, I went 2-3. Mm-hmm. Like I won two but I think one of them was almost definitely that guy timed out. I watched him time out.
Yeah.
Like, he had the same problem. And then, you know, so what would happen is that I got to the point where I'm sitting there on my laptop, and then I have my desktop, and I'm like, okay, I'll play on my desktop until I get kicked off, and then I'll switch to my laptop and log right in so that, you know, I could switch the game over. But it was so frustrating to do. Mm-hmm. I really saw some issues with that. There were problems with the store to get loaded.
Yeah, people were having a lot of problems with that. Like they bought things and it didn't show up, or they weren't getting charged. It was just the whole game was like broken for like 2 days.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, that's indicative of major lack of stress testing. It's the only thing it could be. I'm sure they were sitting there and in their, you know, environment were like, hey, things look good. I think we'll be all right. This will be good. And didn't stress test anything.
Or if they did, like there was some, if it was bad code, it was such a catastrophic thing. Like somebody put in a zero or there should have been a one, and it just threw everything completely off.
Exactly. So, I mean, I definitely want to see. See, this is much better now. I feel like I can see my desk. My chair was very low. So that's kind of what happened this week with that. So, I mean, we did kind of beat that horse during combat, but I mean, I really wanted to talk about it. Did you play any of the events they had going on this weekend other than, I mean, all the events online this weekend, there wasn't like a free event, right? It was pretty much sealed and draft.
They had something else going on, but I really wasn't interested in that. It's the week of a
pre-release weekend.
I give me the new cards. I'm done with Thornaville Drain. Great set. I'm fine with it not playing it for a while. If it comes back on like one of their little throwback drafts like they do with Dominaria on the other sets, I'll maybe do that. But I like spending my gems and coins on the current set.
Right. And I do. I've got a lot of coins, so I'm going to start, you know, buying some draft entries and stuff like that to kind of build the set a little more.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a horrible drafter. I don't know. We should talk about draft strategy for this set. Maybe that's something we do next week. Because, you know, people are going to be drafting next weekend.
Yeah,
so
I haven't had a chance to draft it yet.
So there's that. We did, I put up a post today on our Facebook, which I always try to do on Monday mornings, guys. I'll go into the Facebook page and I'll put up a little article asking for some information from you guys and to email us. And we're totally doing that just to get some, you know, content. But Jamie got a hold of us here. I put up a thing saying, hey, anybody get any good pre-release stories? Any good polls, email us at, you know, our website, and we'll read them tonight on the show. So Jamie sent us a bunch of pictures. So I'm kind of looking at them now. I'm going to see if maybe I can put this on a screen. Well, I don't have to. I can just tell you. So he was showing us, I think, the big stuff he got. He pulled. He had a pretty good poll. Did you take a look at any of these on the site?
I saw them briefly. I'm trying to find it again. I know he...
It's under...
I see it.
Okay. He got a Euro, which, again... God, I wish I had pulled one of those. He looks like he also got an Erebos. By the way, guys, if you're going to take pictures, can you make sure that they're right set up? Okay, thanks. Because now I'm on the Facebook feed right now, and I'm sure you're looking at me, and I look like, you know.
Trying to change the orientation.
Yeah. Erebos, he got the Erebos, and he got the alternate art, which I also got of the Calyx Destiny's Hand.
Which is cool.
So, yeah, I like that alternate art. And then it's almost like him and I had the same pack almost, because he also got a Calyx Destiny's Hand regular. So,
and then he pulled
a Heliod. So,
yeah, it looks like a foil.
And I'm sure he pulled more than that. He only showed five here. So yeah, I'm assuming if he got a box, there's other ones. But
that was a foil Heliod.
Was it a foil? Oh, yeah. Well, Merry Christmas to you, sir.
So, yeah, that's a good pull. Some good pulls.
Yeah.
All the boxes that I've seen people open have been pretty good. There have been some really good boxes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, there's some value in this set overall. I'm sure the professor's got a video on it.
Yeah, I don't think he's done it yet, but he will do his booster box game video soon, I'm sure. And I'm always looking forward to seeing those. But along with the polls and everything else, Nyx lands, what do you think?
I'm a big fan.
They are so pretty.
I'm a big fan. You know what? All right. I might take the bullet on this one. I was joking about the Pokemon lands. Yeah. Yeah.
In foil.
Yeah.
They are
like
fantastic.
The three I got foiled, I'm like, those are really pretty.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's to the point where I was trying to slowly collect the lands from Unstable, those full art lands, because those are gorgeous too.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I think these lands are my new go-tos. I think they're the lands I'm going to be using until something else better comes along, which they're going to have a hard time topping these. Because, I mean, they look like nebulas, and it's just, I mean, you know, I'm a Star Trek geek too, so this stuff is awesome.
Yeah, I definitely like them. Although I did find myself this weekend, I got Wendy really good. I'm like, so do you like my lands, honey? See, look, this is a broccoli on fire. And I'm holding up the green one. And I'm like, and look, here's a little red sperm on fire. And look, here's a skull on fire. And she's just like, okay, I can't not see the little red sperm now. Thank you for that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is. It's like a little red sperm. So yeah, there was that. So Jamie, thanks for sending that stuff in. Guys, listen, we really want to encourage you guys to send us some content and stuff. That definitely email us this week with stuff. We're really excited. I mean, next week we'll obviously talk about our first event Friday. I'll talk about my sealed event with the guys tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll have some information as far as I'm sure that we'll have something else to bitch about with Arena. So
God, I hope not.
I really
can we
too.
Go like a month without something breaking on that game?
That'd be nice. But with that, why don't we go ahead and get into
End Step.
So it's End Step. So we're going to start picking up our playmats, putting them in the roller there, and putting our cards in the boxes, and grabbing the pizza boxes, taking them over to recycling, because damn it, your mother still does not work at this store. But while we're doing that, we want to remind you guys that both Aramis and I we're really working out a schedule here, but we stream as much as we can Arena on the Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
Yeah, Benson's right. We're going to try to figure out some sort of a way to get on there on a regular basis so you guys know when we're going to be on for sure. So you can, watch us as we stumble our way through Arena when it's not crashing. If we are streaming, you can follow me on Twitch at ArmekWRX. I also simultaneously broadcast on the Planestalkers podcast channel as well. So if you have that one followed, at least I'll be on there as well. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. Well, we'll tweet about upcoming shows or if we're at an event or just, little random things throughout the week.
And by the way, Aramis is being really good about the Twitter as far as that. He's been in charge of that. I have a personal Twitter, so you can follow me there, at WR Benson. I mean, to be honest, I don't tweet as much. I'm on there pretty much to just follow and find videos of David Hasselhoff's singing career, because damn it, am I a fan. But
questionable.
Listen, no. All right, not really, but if you ever need a laugh, you need to go look up David Hasselhoff sings Hooked on a Feeling.
Oh, God.
it's as bad as you think it is, and yet it's as amazing as you think it would be. When I'm having a bad day, that's one of my go-to videos on YouTube. That and the playoff video. Like, Jim Mora is like, playoffs? Playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Playoffs?
Yep, I was just watching that this week.
I just want to win a game. Playoffs? So, but I'm on there really pretty much to follow David Hasselhoff's singing career. But you can always also follow us on Facebook. Obviously, we do Facebook Live every Monday right around 7 o'clock. You can go to Facebook.com/Planestalker and like and follow our page there. That's really where we keep everything up to date.
And finally, if you want to get in touch with us, another way you can do that, you can send us emails. And you can send those emails to, like I said, talk about the show, give us advice, or if you need advice on something, we have an Ask Aramis section, which we haven't done in a while.
We really haven't.
So please send us some emails with questions about, like, deck construction, limited choices, something along those lines. Pre-release. I opened this pre-release pool. These are my six packs. These are my rares. What do you think I should have built? This is what I built instead. That type of thing.
Yeah. And you could always do, pack one, pick one with us, too, as far as your draft. I mean, if you're drafting an arena right now and, you don't really want to finish it yet, you could send us a screenshot and say, hey, what should I grab? And, he'd be glad to answer that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that stuff. So if you're interested, and like I said, you can also send us emails just to give us advice on the show or feedback. Our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And don't forget, folks, iTunes reviews are really a great way to grow the show. We want to encourage you guys to still do that. We didn't really have a giveaway in January because, we gave away the box here last week. And again, congratulations, Josh. That'll be going out this week. I've already been in touch with Kerwins. But we want to encourage you guys to do that again. So if you haven't yet, go to iTunes. Leave us a review in iTunes. If it's not going to be positive, let us know first why, and we can fix it. But pardon me. We really want to grow the show that way. And what's going to happen is that the 1 month from, second week in February, we're going to do a drawing from all of the podcast or iTunes reviews that are up there, except for the one that won. Now, the one from last month did not, or the one from December did not contact us. So we're going to continue to keep them in there. We're going to go ahead and in you know, a month, we're going to go ahead and draw another name, and you can win, you know, some arena packs we're going to send to you. So we'll send you a code for arena packs, and it's really great. So go up there, leave us a review. It really does help the show. And with that, let's go. We're going to start backing ourselves out of here. We want to thank you guys for listening and being here tonight. Nicholas Boltash is our special guest early on. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. And, you know, he's a pretty good kid, if I do say so myself. But for Aramis Perez and Nick Boltash, this is Will Benson saying thank you guys for listening, for being fans of our show. And is there anything else you want to say, Aramis?
Nope, we're good.
All right. So with that, we're going to back on out of here, and we want to remind you guys before we leave that you'll want to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you'll never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.